And welcome back. It's midday on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. It's Thursday afternoon. That means it's time to check in with our intrepid theater critic, Jaewyn Russick. Judy, how you doing?
I'm fine. Feeling intrepid.
That's right. Feeling intrepid. So we're going to talk about the Iron Crow Theater's production. They have a new show called The Wild Party, and it's at the Theater Project. So we should make sure that people are hip to the fact that the Iron Crow Theater is its own theater. It's one of these great theaters. It's sort of, you know, demonstrative of the real boom in small theater companies.
Yes,
here.
Yes, focusing on queer theater. Right? Baltimore's only queer-focused theater.
Yeah, so they have a focus on queer theater, like the Strand Theater that focuses on women's work, stuff like that. So they are performing at the Theater Project.
Right, they're in residence there. They're one of several local companies that are in residence there. Peabody Chamber Opera is in residence there, as you probably know. Vincent Thomas, VT Dance is in residence there. So there's several local companies in different areas in residence there.
So Theater Project brings people in, sometimes from all around the
world,
literally.
Oh, yes, it's a presenter.
I mean, when Phil Arnoux started the Theater Project 1,000 years ago, you know, he was bringing in people from Europe and Eastern Europe and Asia. So there are some local groups and some not local groups at the Theater Project. So Iron Crow, this piece is called The Wild Party. And interestingly, it's based on a narrative poem from the 1920s. That's funky. I mean, usually they're based on movies or they're based on books. So tell us about, and by the way, this is a musical, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So a musical is based on a poem. So tell us something about that.
Well, it is an unconventional source, no question. It's a poem by Joseph Moncure March that was published in 1928. He was the first managing editor of The New Yorker. And the poem, which in print is almost 100 pages long, is about a couple named Queenie and Burrs. They're a couple vaudeville performers. She's a dancer. He's a clown. And their love life sort of is on the skids. It hits a rut. And Queenie decides she's going to give a party. But the party pretty quickly turns into more of an orgy. There's an array of guests with an array of sexual orientations. This poem was banned in Boston. You won't be surprised to find out. Tom, I have to give a very strong caveat, and I may give this again later. This show, as the subject matter suggests, contains adult language, adult content. It's a party, but it's not a party for kids. I brought you an example of the title song. You'll hear the exuberance in this number.
We'll be having a wild, wild party. We'll be loving it loud and fast. We'll be having a wild, wild party and hoping the beer will last.
A 100-page poem about an orgy.
Well,
only an Iron Crow, and only you, Judy, would bring that to us. That's hysterical. So that's a clip from Iron Crow Theater's production of The Wild Party. So, I mean, I often ask you, you know, does this musical stick close to the movie or stick close to the book? So does this musical stick closely to Joseph Moncure March's 100-page orgy poem?
Well,
and I'm not sure what I want the answer to be. may be looking for some divergence from the poem here. I don't know.
The script and the score are by a man named Andrew Lippa, composer, and the biggest difference is that the poem is written mostly in third person, and Andrew Lippa turns most of it into first person. Most of it is sung. There's very little dialogue. And the plot is basically the same. It's built around the theme of jealousy. Queenie is attracted to one of the guests, a man named Black. In the poem, Burrs becomes involved with the woman who brought Black, a woman named Kate. In this production, however, Kate is interested in Burrs, but he's not so interested in her. Burrs is much more focused on what's going on with Queenie, what she's up to. And there are smaller differences. The poem, both have a pair of songwriting brothers, and in the poem they perform a song that they've written. In the show, they perform part of a musical that they've written. It's an Old Testament musical called Good Heavens, and Queenie plays Eve in this little presentation.
Nothing like an Old Testament musical.
Oh, yeah, in the middle of an orgy.
Light your fire,
exactly.
In the middle of an orgy.
Exactly. Iron Crow has interpolated another bigger difference. There's a big fight scene at the end. I'm not going to give away what this is, but it involves, at Iron Crow, three people instead of two. In the poem, the third person is just looking on. So that changes the ending a little bit.
All right. So some differences.
Yes.
Now, Wild Party was actually on Broadway, wasn't it?
It was, but not this Wild Party. This is amazing. As odd as it may seem for
Broadway, known for its parties and its wild ones. Yeah,
well,
but not
and,
this particular
and,
Wild Party.
And odd as it is for this poem to be the source of a musical, it was the source of two musicals, both of which were called The Wild Party, both of which opened in New York the same year, 2000. One was on Broadway, one was off Broadway. The composers of both shows said they fell in love with the first line of the poem, and it's a great first line. Queenie was a blonde, and her age stood still, and she danced twice a day in vaudeville. The Broadway version was by George Wolfe and Michael John Lacusa. It starred Mandy Patinkin and Toni Collette. Eartha Kitt was in it. It did not do well. The off-Broadway version is what Iron Crow is doing, the Andrew Lippa one. When it was off-Broadway, it starred Idina Menzel and Taye Diggs. The poem
Those
was
Those are big names, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's the one who made a big splash
absolutely.
In Wicked and
right.
stuff.
And this
Taye
was
Diggs
at, right,
been on TV.
It was right after they were in Rent. I think the reason this came about is that this confluence of Wild Party musicals is because the poem was reissued in 1994 in an edition that was illustrated by Art Spiegelman, who did Mouse, and both composers actually had that edition. I saw the Broadway version. It was done as a vaudeville show, so people came out. There were cards that announced the different numbers, the different acts. Iron Crow's production of the other version, the Andrew Lippa version, goes in a very different direction. In a program note, the show's director, Sean Elias, who's the new artistic director at Iron Crow, says that he has moved the show from the 1920s to, quote, a dreamlike state somewhere between sexual fantasy and nightmare. The look. The
Most
look.
People refer to that as Arizona. I don't know. I made that up.
You're going to hear from Arizonans now. The look is very 1920s. The costumes look like that 1998 famous revival of Cabaret, mostly black sort of S&M lingerie. You have men in corsets and high heels. The costumes are designed by Betty O'Helno, who is a burlesque performer in her own right. The set, the back wall is very skewed and the doors are sort of skewed. To me, it looks like that silent 1920s movie, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. The set's designed by Ryan Haas. But this is still Iron Crow's millennial-informed Wild Party.
I've done a lot of shows in my life. I have never done a show with a costume designer named Betty O'Helno. I like that.
Well, you're going to have to look her up.
I am going to have to look her up. And I'm glad for the poet. I mean, there's been all these different versions of the Wild Party. I mean, if you're going to write a poem that's like 99 pages longer than most poems, you might as well get some mileage out of it. And that is a good first line. So the action is out of the 1920s, but the music, I mean, that music we just heard sounds kind of 20s-ish vaudevillian to me. I mean, what's the music like? Does it get more modern?
Well, Andrew Lippa has written kind of a mixture of styles. I have to say, all of the singers in this production are over-miked. The theater project, as you know, is a very small, intimate venue, and they really don't need mics at all. That said, there is a very good five-person band at the back of the house behind the audience. It's led by Ben Shaver. And this eclectic score, the band does very, very well by that brassy, jazzy 1920s sound, but there's also an electric guitar in the band.
Hence the microphone.
Well... the songs include what I'm going to call a reverse gospel number. Instead of Salvation, this number is called Let Me Drown. And it's sung by Burrs, who's played by Justin Mazzella, plays him as a character that gets darker and darker. Allison Bradley, who plays Queenie, has a couple torch songs, and she is a real belter. She's the centerpiece of this show. She really doesn't need a microphone. But there are a lot of modern-sounding pop songs, some with very, very trite lyrics. Silvern Grooms Jr., who plays Black and has a wonderful, deep, rich voice, he sings to Queenie, "I looked into your eyes, your heavenly eyes, and I knew wishes can come true." So contrast that, Tom, to something Joseph Moncure March wrote in the same section of the poem. He wrote, "Some love is fire, some love is rust, but the fiercest, cleanest love is lust." I mean, what a lusty couple of lines that is. So, yes, there is some 20s sound, especially jazz. There's even some scatting. And I brought you an example of the show's jazzy sound. We're going to hear Jessica Bennett as a very, very bold Kate singing The Life of the Party.
Don't you want to be there running the show until it's time to go, till it's time to kill? Don't you ever want to be somebody to envy? Don't you want to be for loose and free? Well, you could be the life of the party if you were
All right, Jessica Bennett and Iron Crow Theater's production of The Wild Party. So we got all these broad, this broad range of musical styles. We got some risque subject matter. Sounds like a challenge to stage. Does Iron Crow meet those challenges? Is this a good one? A thumbs up?
Well, it's a thumbs part way up. This is a very daring production. It's very stylized. I'm going to repeat that caveat, not for the kids. This is adult material. I found the second act sort of slowed down. The music became more generic. But Tom, the title, the truth is in the title. Truth is in advertising. The Wild Party is wild. It's a bit too wild, I think, in this production. Some of the staging is overly graphic. It's over-mic'd, as I said. The show, of course, is about excess. But even that would come across more effectively, I feel, with a little more suggestion, a little more modulation.
All right, the Iron Crow Theater's production of The Wild Party. It's at the Theater Project until Saturday, and we've got a link to the details at WIPR.org/midday. Theater critic Jay Wynn Russick joins us every Thursday here on Midday. So, Judy, what are we going to talk about next week?
Next week, we're going to talk about the award-winning stage version of The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It's at the Kennedy Center, and can't wait to see it.
Love the book. I actually saw the English National Theater production of that, and of all places, a movie theater. I thought it was terrific. Oh, I look forward to that. All right, that's it for us today. Thanks. We'll see you next week.
See you then.
Tomorrow, Jed Dietz of the Maryland Film Festival and Anne Hornaday, the film critic at the Washington Post, join us for the Midday Monthly Movie Mayhem. We'll hear from them about what we should keep our eyes out for in the theaters, and we'll take your calls about some of the movies that you've really liked of late. That's tomorrow on Midday. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your calls, your emails, and your tweets. Thanks also to Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch for our guests today. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features unique sandwiches and salads with specials each and every day, all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon. Here and Now is coming up after the news. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.